What's up, everybody? This is Joffer, Papa Pump, Penazai with my main man, John DeMatt Maz, and we are here in Louisville, training at Real Fighters Gym in Kentucky. But right now, we have one of my favorite fighters in the game, Joseph Valtellini. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How's everything?
Great, great. We hear some really big things going on with you, so, you know, I'm just going to cut to the chase. What's going on with you, brother? What's the big news that has been floating around Facebook?
Yeah, well, I guess last weekend we got to see a welterweight title between Mark DeBont and Carapet. And as we were watching that fight, Twitter started going nuts, and people were kind of posting and tweeting all night saying how, you know, Bazooka Joe deserves that shot, and, you know, that belt will look good around my waist. So I got to thank the fans, because all that Twitter and all those tweets and favorites and likes and retweets actually got me a welterweight title shot against Mark DeBon in L.A. So it's an exciting time for me, and it's a huge opportunity, and this is the childhood dream, June 21st in L.A. It's going to become a reality.
Joe, what's it feel like to be fighting in a promotion like Glory? They seem to have like a huge amount of steam, and I mean, they have a huge presence on TV and the internet. It's kind of like the new wave of kickboxing in America.
It's been crazy. If you look at my professional background, I haven't had much experience before Glory. Before Glory, I was fighting in Friday Night Fights. I experimented a little bit with Lion Fight Promotions and Muay Thai in America. Then out of the blue, I got a call from Glory wanting to sign me on a contract. And then right away, for my eighth professional fight, I was flying over to Istanbul, Turkey, and I fought a legend of the sport. And since that day with Glory, things have taken off. Getting that deal with Spike TV has been huge for us. We've been getting, you know, increases in viewership, which just shows that kickboxing is on the rise in North America. So it's been exciting, man. I really got to say that for us real stand-up strikers and people who really love stand-up fighting, it's refreshing to know that there's a big organization like Glory putting on big shows and getting the attention that it's getting.
Now, what I find really amazing is, as far as these other fighters are concerned, your record, as far as many fights as you've had, is so much smaller. You don't have the amount of fights that they have. And what do you account to your success, being that, you know, you're fighting these dudes with 60, 70 fights, and the amount that you have in comparison is significantly less?
Well, I've lived my life as a martial artist. I started training with my father when I was really young. When I have videos and pictures when I was 2-3 years old training with my father teaching me the basics. He wasn't into martial arts himself, because he was from Sicily, came to Canada, and so he didn't really have the finances and, you know, the support structure to kind of go into martial arts. But he was a fan, introduced me to those, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Stallone movies. From there, I did 10 years of Taekwondo, and now I've been doing 10 years of kickboxing. And a big thing I got to credit is my coach, my coach Paul Minhas from Ultimate Martial Arts. Being from Canada, there's not many opportunities, and kind of finding him as a coach and having 10 years under him really, you know, made my basics really solid, kind of, you know, always has me learning all year. I don't really take time off. I'm constantly learning. I feel because I have this less experience, I got to kind of make up time in between fights, constantly learn, constantly improve. So my coach is really good at that. I have a phenomenal strength and conditioning coach, which, you know, makes sure my peaking my strength and my conditioning on fight night. And I think it's really showing, and having these amazing people around me kind of continually making me grow. And the other thing is, it's important as an athlete, you know, you got to believe in yourself, and having people around you believe in you and having that confidence when you go in the ring. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, people around me were telling me I would be a world champion, you know, 10 years ago. And here I am fighting for it.
Now, you're saying you're up in Canada and you kind of have, like, the, you know, kickboxing isn't as big up there as maybe it is in other parts of the North America. Are you having to travel a lot for your training camp to find sparring partners? Are you able to kind of get some guys to come in and bang out with you? Or are you able just to train with your coaches and get the level of training that you need?
The funny thing is, talking about kickboxing in Canada, professional kickboxing in Ontario, where I'm from, is still illegal. So since turning professional, I haven't had that opportunity to fight, you know, in my hometown. But I was lucky enough, like New York, to fight seven times and kind of feel that home crowd, you know, experience. So that's been cool. But with respect to training partners, we have a lot of cool guys around. I train with two really good guys. I have Troy Sheridan, who's, you know, also fought with Glory. And I also have another up-and-coming guy who should be fighting pro soon, Matt Speciale. So these guys, we're constantly making each other get better. But I've actually experimented with this camp. I've been working with Simon Marcus for this upcoming belt because he's also fighting in LA. So we've been sparring a lot. I also have Robert Thomas, who also just fought Artem Levin on the past show. I've got to work with Mark Holst, who's fighting Cosmo Alexander in Lion Fight. And Matt Embry, who's doing amazing things on the Muay Thai scene with Lion Fight. I've also been having some good success finding top Canadian boxers who are kind of taking me out of my comfort zone of kickboxing, kind of continually pushing me. So I'm finding all these guys around me, but, you know, home base is really good as well. So everything around me has just been great and haven't really had, you know, the need to go outside to find sparring partners yet. But I would love that opportunity, especially in New York. You have, you know, it's an hour flight away to have guys like Wayne Barrett and other than Chris Kwiatkowski and all these other top guys. And another few hours in L.A., you kind of have Joe Schilling and Kai Hollenbeck and all those other guys. So it would be nice to kind of work together as a team and hopefully have a chance to kind of learn from each other.
Now, I've been following your career for a while. I actually saw your first Friday Night Fights. I believe the fight you fought Max Chen. So I've been following you since the beginning, first time I saw you in New York. And since I've been following you on the scene, I noticed there's one thing that you've been doing throughout your career. It's quality over quantity with your training. Kind of just like my theory on women as well. So tell me, with your quality over quantity concept, how do you train differently than most of these guys who are, quote-unquote, doing the six-hour days? Because I actually really agree with your methodology of training, and if you could just elaborate on it for the majority of our audience.
Well, it all started when I actually have a degree in health and physical education at the University of Toronto. And within the first year of school, we started talking about energy systems. And, you know, I started everything I learned in school, I was relating to my fighting and my kickboxing. And as soon as they started talking about energy systems within the first week of university, I was thinking it was making sense. I was like, so if, you know, they're talking about how you should kind of train sports specific and how you should kind of train towards how you're going to fight. So I was kind of thinking, it was like, why would I run for an hour at a slow pace if I'm fighting three rounds of high intensity? So once I started learning energy systems, I kind of started applying, you know, the science and the research behind all of my training and hooking up with my strength and conditioning coach, who's, you know, a genius when it comes to kind of sports performance. And we put together a plan that's, you know, kind of science-based. And we're big on, you know, that whole quality over quantity and making sure that one of the big things you see in fighters, especially in MMA, is, you know, overtraining. And so I have scheduled rest days, and people think I'm crazy. If I talk to a lot of fighters, they think I'm crazy for not running, and they think I'm crazy for, you know, having all these rest days. But, you know, I feel that because I understand the science, the body, the physiology, that I could apply it to my training, and I think it really shows. I think it really shows in my training. And, you know, I'm injury-free. I'm always peaking on fight night. My strength is at its highest on fight night. And you can tell from other fighters that my conditioning levels are one of the best.
Now, Joe, I don't know if you could kind of allude to any of the secrets that you have, but what are some of the more scientific approaches you are taking to training? Are you using, you know, like some of those cryogenic freezes I've seen some of the guys using for recovery? Are you doing any kind of special supplementation? Are you using any kind of different, like, maybe homeopathic or different style medicine?
You know what? I'm not a big believer in new things, and that's with my training. I believe in kind of what has worked in the past, and that shows, you know, why change something that has worked so well. So I'm a big believer in basics. I feel a lot of times people are overcomplicating things, especially in the weight room, especially with their training. You know, I like to stick to the basics that have worked for, you know, thousands of years. Why change it when it works? So I really stick to basics, and I don't really get caught in these new trends and these new fads and, you know, and all these new things. It's, to me, I strongly believe in the basics and that have been researched and kind of, you know, proven to be successful.
Now, how did you fall into the gym that you're with right now? I know you had a Taekwondo background, but how did you basically get into Muay Thai and kickboxing, and how did you fall into the gym that you currently are with?
Well, it was pretty cool. I was actually, during my university time, I was working summer jobs, and my first summer job in university was actually working at a cemetery, and I met a guy there, and he was a cool guy, and we started talking about martial arts, and one day I saw him, like, you know, he's tapping his shins on a tree. I was like, this guy's crazy, you know, I've seen this in Kickboxer, but I didn't think actually people actually did it. So I talked to him, and he's like, hey, I go to this kickboxing gym nearby. It's pretty cool. They got a lot of cool guys. And again, I always followed mixed martial arts. And he's like, yeah, the main coach there trains Gary Goodridge in Pride, K-1, and kind of all through his Japan career. So I was like, hey, I checked it out. And after my first session, I was hooked. And working 10 years with Paul Minas has been huge because, you know, you go to all these gyms and all of these trainers, you know, may have not have that solid experience. And the fact that my coach has all of his experience based on K-1 and you know, Glory fights, it kind of really helped out. He's so knowledgeable, so experienced. So I just kind of fell into the right path and, you know, all the stars aligned and here I am.
You know, and I had a question for you. It actually kind of struck me as a surprise that you didn't get signed by them. I remember online I saw that you went for the K-1 tryouts and, you know, now it's so funny to me, you're fighting in Glory for the world title. What happened back then that the tryouts didn't go your way? Because I thought in a heartbeat they were going to sign you.
It was weird. As soon as I heard, you know, K-1 was coming and they were doing all of this thing, like my ultimate goal, you know, when I first started was to fight in K-1 Max. Hearing stories from Gary Goodridge and my coach about their experience in Japan and, you know, my goal was to fight in the K-1 Max. So everything I was doing was K-1 Max, K-1. I wanted to fight there. So when I heard there was a tryout, I kind of went out and tried out and just wasn't what I expected it to be. And it just felt like they already had guys picked and it just, you know, nothing really panned out from it. And I was pretty shocked too, because I thought I would have been a perfect candidate for them. But nothing really panned out. And even during that time, I even started experimenting with MMA because I'm like, you know, I'm a martial artist and I want to continue to compete. But if there's no, you know, if there's no ring or for me to compete in, I'm going to have to kind of go to an octagon. And it was kind of sad for me because I'm giving up something that I truly love to something that, you know, I wasn't really passionate about. So Glory couldn't have come along at a more perfect time for me.
Do you think MMA is something you want to transition to in the future after you run your course kickboxing?
I experimented with jiu-jitsu before I actually got into kickboxing. I played a year of it. You know, I'm surrounded by so many good jiu-jitsu guys in Canada, like the pioneers of MMA, Richard the Monkey Nanku, Antonio Carvalho, Justin Brockman. These guys made Canadian MMA. And they would be more than happy to kind of take me through that jiu-jitsu and wrestling side of things. But my love is in stand-up fighting, and I really would love to see kickboxing be more popular than MMA soon. So my goal is to kind of stick with kickboxing and stick to what I love.
Now, your fight with Nicky Holskin, that to me was one of the best fights I've seen in a long time. Now, you know, a lot of people really thought his experience was going to stop you in round one, but you had like a lion's heart in going into that fight. Talk us through that fight. Was there ever a moment during that fight you were just like, what do I have to do to just stop that guy? And by the way, the ending, in my opinion, I'm just going to say, I thought it was bullshit. They could have let you finish, but it is what it is. But just talk us through that fight.
Well, it was kind of after knocking out Raymond Daniels in round one, I really didn't have much time to recover. And I thought I had a pretty, you know, tough fight, and I put a lot of output and a lot of effort into my first fight. With a tournament format, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the tournament format. I feel not all, like if you look at, you know, all the tournaments that have happened, you know, the guy who's expected to win never ends up winning, and all the Glory tournaments, you know, there was always this underdog winner. But with Nicky Holtzkin, I knew he had experience. I knew he was, you know, recovered and had a little bit more time between fights. So for me, it was just to kind of go in there and kind of push it. Like I felt, you know, the way to beat him was to kind of push him and keep him moving back. But I feel, you know, I brought, you know, from watching Nicky in the past, I felt I brought one of the best Nicky Holdskins out, and I think it brought the best out of both of us, which made it for such an exciting fight. And with so much on the line, you know, to be that number one kickboxer, that belt, that, you know, the dream come true, the payday, you know, you want to leave everything out there. And, you know, when there's 10 seconds left in a fight and you don't know which way it's going to go, you know, I had to leave it all out there. And like I said, I wasn't happy with the ref stopping it, because if you would have counted me, it would have went to the judge's scorecard. And, you know, watching it a few times, I know it could have been a draw. It could have been so many different outcomes that, you know, I wish it kind of went to the judge's scorecard so I can kind of see what it was. But I feel, and I'm a big believer, and if I would fight Nicky Holdskin fresh with only one fight, it, you know, would be a totally different outcome. And hopefully with his recovery comes back, a rematch will be in place.
Now, Joe, we talked to a lot of fighters, mixed martial arts guys, Muay Thai guys. Now that you've kind of been drafted over to the Glory, which is one of the bigger organizations that's coming up, are you able to have a lifestyle where you can fight full-time, or do you still have to do something on the side because the paydays aren't really there yet?
Well, things are good, and but I'm a big believer in balance in my life. You know, like me working at a school with at a high school in Toronto, and especially working with kids with you know, that have special needs, and it gives me that balance in my life. And I, like I said, everything is that quality over quantity. Like if I'm home and training twice a day, it could mean to more exhaustion. But again, there's goods and bads to both sides. But right now, I'm very happy having that balance in my life of being the teacher and the fighter. And maybe one day I can focus full time. But I still enjoy that side of things, whether it's, you know, the money's there or not. I know a lot of guys who would give up, you know, that teaching position. But you know, I've come from a background where my parents are very, you know, hardworking, very motivated, and that's where I kind of got those qualities growing up, is seeing my father work really hard, my mother work really hard. And to me, it's kind of seeing, you know, the benefits and things that come with being a teacher, of pensions and kind of benefits and stuff. And so to me, it's a smart career path to stay in teaching and continue to fight.
Now, we see with a lot of fighters, they cut significant amounts of weight to make their weight class. Would you say, for yourself, do you cut a lot of weight to make your weight division, or not really?
I do cut weight, and, you know, I go through that whole spike, but I'm also not the person who kind of gets, you know, I'm very disciplined throughout. I kind of know a number that I don't pass. You know, I don't like to pass 200 pounds. If I do, I kind of adjust my diet in my off season to keep under that 200 pounds. But I'm also very, like I said, that scientific approach. I make sure I have, you know, 10 weeks, whatever it is, to kind of cut my diet down. And I keep very disciplined through that time. I don't believe in cutting so much weight at the end. And I think that just shows a lack of discipline when fighters are caught a week left with so much weight to cut when they had so much time to kind of do it slowly. So like I said, everything's scientific. Everything is calculated, and, you know, I've never had a problem making weight.
Now, do you follow any kind of diet restrictions? Like you said, you do it very scientifically. You take 10 weeks. Do you follow any restrictions, any kind of lifestyle choices to make it easier? Like, what is the dietary constraints when you're in fight camp?
Well, it's just kind of cutting out all those little extras that, you know, you kind of have when you're not so serious in fighting. Like, I'm a big pizza eater, and, you know, being Italian doesn't help with all these extra carbs and pastas and all those lasagnas and, you know, veals and all that unhealthy stuff. But when it comes time, like, yeah, I'll eat desserts when it's there. I love pizza. But, you know, when I'm in that focus and that fight mode, I don't even want those things. So I just kind of cut out all those extra things and kind of make sure I kind of keep my meals balanced, and making sure I kind of have, you know, make sure my, I know I hear a lot of fighters cut out, and people who cut weight cut out all their carbohydrates, but, you know, I make sure I eat a lot of carbohydrates. And again, that slow process allows me to have a lot of energy throughout my camp where I'm not depleting myself.
Now, I know you take your training very serious, and you're more about density in your training. Let's say it's a sparring day. How do you basically prep for, I'm assuming this title fight's, is it still threes or it's a five-round fight?
Title fights are five rounds.
Okay, so now how do you prep? Let's say you come into the gym, you do your warm-up. How does a sparring day look like for Joe Valtellini?
Well, again, it depends the day. With my team, it kind of depending the day, there's light sparring sessions, we have hard sparring sessions, we have drill days. But it's usually kind of coming in and really warming up and trying to really simulate a fight situation, kind of having a, you know, that the stretching and the rolling out process and kind of doing what I would do on fight day to kind of simulate that. Because, you know, it's important to kind of keep everything like you would in a fight. So, you know, we might warm up with little mitts before with my coach and kind of just to stay loose, a little bit of skipping, making sure I'm loose, stretching, and then I would approach, you know, my sparring rounds as if I would fight time. I think that's very important.
See, I always had that belief as well. I mean, if you're, example, you're doing a 5-3, 3-minute round fight, I really believe that you should train for that. So now, would you say if it's a harder day, you would mimic basically those constraints?
That's right. Yeah, I think it's very important to kind of simulate a fight as much as possible. You know, if you go in there cold and try to do your 5 rounds of sparring, you're going to notice that, you know, the first 3-4 rounds, you're still not even warmed up, and it's kind of you're kind of wasting the quality sparring time. So I think it's important to kind of simulate everything as a fight as possible, and, you know, it kind of prepares you mentally, kind of allows you to work some visualization training and kind of stay focused and kind of allows you to have your best sparring rounds.
Now, Joe, when are you going to get to LA for your fight? Because I know there's a time difference, there's a weather difference, there's a whole bunch of other things like that. Are you doing anything to kind of like counteract that, like start your training at a specific time, the same time you'd be actually going out for your event, to kind of get your body in the right timing and the right mode of fighting?
Well, it's a 3-hour difference, so we're 3 hours ahead here in Canada, in Toronto here. So it's kind of not that big of a difference. It actually kind of, I feel it kind of works out in my favor. So if I'm fighting later in LA, it's kind of more of a time that I would be training here in Toronto. And fighting in Istanbul, fighting in Japan, those were 8 hours and, you know, 14-hour differences. So 3 hours to me is not a big deal. I might time adjust a little bit to kind of help my sleep schedule a little bit, but it's not a big deal.
So now we got to ask you, what is the long-term goal? Let's say the goal for Joe Valtellina in a year and the goal for Joe Valtellina in 5 years.
Well, within a year is to kind of still have that glory belt. And as soon as I experience that and kind of feel that belt around my waist, then it's just going to keep motivating me to train harder, because I don't want anyone else in that 170 division to kind of have that feeling. That feeling's mine. And, you know, I plan on keeping that title for a long time. I would love to own that division for as long as I can until retirement. I don't know when that will be, but, you know, I'm playing it day by day, and hopefully, you know, I can have that full, long, healthy career and continue to be one of those champions that kind of dominated division for a long period of time.
Now, Joe, we're going to start to wrap up the podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
We have two segments left. One is kind of like bland, but the second part's really funny. So the first part is, do you have any sponsors, anybody you'd like to shout out, anybody you'd like to thank or throw some props to?
Yeah, there's a lot of people I want to thank. You know, the first goes out to my coaches. You know, I wouldn't be here without them. Paul Minhas from Ultimate Martial Arts, Costa Claudianos from Tempest Performance. And I have my sponsors around me who've been really great. I have Kimura Fight Gear, and, you know, they've been kind of supplying me with awesome training gear for my training camps. You know, I have Americana MMA, who made my awesome t-shirt. If you don't got one, pick one up, because they're really cool and they fit really well, and you know, you're supporting a good cause here. I also have Beast Sports Nutrition, awesome, kind of use all my supplements. They kind of provide me with all my supplements, and, you know, I always support them, and they've been awesome supporting me. There's some cool things coming out with Beast Sports Nutrition. Inside Fitness Magazine have been awesome. They just did a 6-page spread with me on in the recent magazine, so they're big supporters of me and Glory and kind of helping with that rise in kickboxing. So thanks, Inside Fitness, for that, and we're going to be doing a lot more things in the future. And yeah, those are the main guys, and my sparring partners, of course, who kind of put their bodies on the line for me every day and understand that, you know, I got to go hard sometimes. So they're taking beats and giving beats back, and kind of they're helping me out every day. So And the other thing is thank everybody for the support. And, you know, I'm here because of all the support that everyone's been giving me. And, you know, I'm one of these people that I really appreciate, and it kind of really motivates me to kind of do well for everybody and kind of, you know, thank everybody for that support, that belief and love. So thanks again.
Now, Joe, for the folks that don't know, what day and where and who are you fighting for your next upcoming bout?
So my next bout will be on June 21st in Los Angeles at the Forum. It's for Glory 17. It's actually a double event, so you get to watch two events. There's apparently going to be one on Spike TV and my part, as well as an awesome it's called the Last Man Standing Tournament. There's going to be an awesome tournament as well as mine. So I believe mine's going to be on pay-per-view as well with another title fight, which is I'm also excited for. It's Rico Verhoeven against Daniel Guida. So it'll be Glory 17, Los Angeles at the Forum.
All right. So, Joe, our last segment, it's called our random question segment. Now, these questions get really weird because we don't think about it. It literally comes straight up out of our brain. So if it gets really outlandish, bear with us. So do you want me to go first, Maz, or do you want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay.
Is this like a speed thing, or I just kind of...
You can think about it, but... All right. See, we don't think about it.
We try to make it as ridiculous as possible. Yeah.
So, awesome. Okay, so if you had to kill one of them because somebody had a gun to your head, either Scarlett Johansson or Rihanna, who would you shoot?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't even know, man. That's a tough one.
Man.
I'm so nice. I don't want to hurt anybody.
But, man.
Maybe I'll pick myself. I don't
know. All right, what's your ridiculous question?
All right, Joe, you said your family is originally from Sicily. What's your favorite derogatory statement in Italian?
Ooh,
oh, that's a hard one.
Because I'm Italian by heritage as well, so I got a few key ones too.
Oh man, that's a hard one, man. That's a hard one. What's yours first? Let me know what yours is first.
Bukyak.
What's that? Sorry, go for it again.
Bukyak.
Oh, there's so many good ones. I don't even know. You know what, one we say Tagalafiji, which means like you're very ugly. So when you call someone a Tagalafiji, it's like you're ugly of ugly. So
I'm gonna tell that favorites. To my girlfriend tonight, and I'm gonna say it's something romantic.
So if you say Italian's nice, because if you say it with a nice ring, it kind of sounds sexy and romantic. So it might work for you.
Yeah, I haven't gotten laid in a while, so I'm hoping it works.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Joe, thank you so much, man. I'm a huge fan, and it was an honor to have you on because I've been saying since the first time I saw you fight, I was like, this guy's going to be the biggest thing. So it's awesome to see you fighting for a world title, brother.
No, that's awesome, man. Thank you for having me on and, you know, kind of send this to me so I can send it out to everyone. You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on and appreciate the support and love and kind of let's keep in touch.